Women's participation in professional sport is growing, but is gender equality in reach for these athletes? Catherine Underwood found out more.
It's only been in the past 20 years women have made their mark in professional sports. The London Olympics in 2012 was the first time in history that women competed in every sport across the board. Since then, women's prominence has grown considerably, seen particularly at the Rio Olympics in 2016, when almost half of athletes were women at 45%. Cultural sociologist with the Griffith Centre for Social and Cultural Research, Dr. Adele Pavlidis, is currently researching women's equality in sport. She says it's interesting how the perception of women in sport has changed over time.
Previously, women were thought of as passive, as vulnerable, in need of protection. And now we see women playing sports like AFL, roller derby, rugby sevens, and, you know, mixed martial arts. The list goes on, where women are showing that they're strong, they're capable, they're made of the same stuff that, you know, men are made of. We've got bones and muscle, and there's no kind of underlying weakness in women that prevents them participating in those kind of sports.
For example, weightlifting is a sport predominantly associated with male athletes. Female weightlifting was only introduced into the Commonwealth Games in 2002, 52 years after their male counterparts. Australian weightlifter Tia Claire Toomey was introduced to weightlifting through CrossFit, a mixture of high-intensity exercises such as gymnastics, running, swimming and weightlifting.
I started CrossFit in 2013 and that's when I discovered weightlifting. And it wasn't until 2014 that I wanted to take my CrossFit to the next level, and weightlifting was something that I struggled at. So I knew I needed to get extra help, and I think that's probably when it all kind of started for me.
After 2 years of coming runner-up in the CrossFit Championships, Miss Toomey was crowned the fittest woman on earth 2017 after a grueling four-day CrossFit competition. Winning gold at the Commonwealth Games for weightlifting just last week, Miss Toomey says women are becoming less intimidated to give weights a try.
You got to do what makes you happy, and I think that people are actually, I guess they're not feeling as intimidated to go out and give things a try. So you've got to make sure you're doing things that you enjoy and you love. Otherwise, like, what's the purpose of living, I suppose, if you can, obviously, you know, we all want to live a really fun and fulfilled life.
Although more women are participating in sport at a professional level, Dr. Pavlidis says there's still underlying issues around unequal pay between male and female athletes. According to the AFL Players website, women are currently entitled to up to $20,000 for a 24-week contract. Although this has increased by $3,000 since 2017, there is still a huge pay gap in comparison to male athletes. Last season alone, 9 male AFL players earned more than $1 million each. Dr. Pavlidis says that pay gap has a dramatic impact on women's sporting careers.
There are opportunities for women to make a living playing sport, but the pay is not very good. So I'm interested in, you know, what does it mean to be a professional when you're not actually being paid a living wage? How do you support yourself? Who supports you? Who's supposed to take responsibility for, you know, your food and your housing when you're really not earning that much, yet you're expected to be a professional?
With many professionals and officials in sport being male, Dr. Pavlidis says there needs to be more of a gender balance at all levels in sport.
If you think about people in leadership positions in sport, the majority are men, and that then flows down to just seemingly, you know, issues like the current Venezuelan volleyball team. One of the women has a six-month-old baby, and babies are not allowed at the athletes' village. People probably didn't think twice about that in the past because it was expected that women with children were not really capable of playing sport. But now we know they are, and they are doing that. But the rules and procedures have not kept up to date with that.
That's Dr. Adele Pavlidis from the Griffith Centre for Social and Cultural Research, speaking with Catherine Underwood. And that report was thanks to the Wire's Queensland team, who have been sending us stories from the Commonwealth Games.